This is Sustainable East End, a show about land use, energy and water resources, transportation, and the farming and food industries on the eastern end of Long Island. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, co-producer with Tony Ernst. The town of Southampton on Long Island has set a goal of meeting all the community's energy consumption needs through renewable sources by 2025. It's also taking steps to reduce that energy consumption and lower the cost to residents and the town of meeting their energy needs. Today we talk with Lynn Arthur, chair of the Southampton Energy Sustainability Subcommittee of the Southampton Town Sustainability Committee. Lynn Arthur is also executive director of Peak Power Long Island, a not-for-profit providing services in the areas of conservation and renewable energy solutions. She designed and, together with Southampton Town staff, launched its Tri-Energy program. The program offers residents to lower the cost of their electric service and reduce their energy consumption. One goal is to reduce the peak electric demand on the South Fork, which is driving up the cost of providing service by the electric utility, a cost that will be passed on to the ratepayers. Last week, my co-producer Tony Ernst and I spoke to Lynn Arthur about the town's energy programs. Here's that conversation. Lynn Arthur, welcome to Sustainable East End.
Thank you for having me.
You are the chair of the Southampton Town Energy Sustainability Committee. You're also the president of Peak Power Long Island, and you work as a contractor for the town of Southampton. First of all, what got you interested in renewable energy?
A few years ago, I had learned by attending the town's Sustainability Committee meetings that LIPA was in the process of approving legislation, I guess you call it, whereby they were going to refinance $2.5 billion into $4.5 billion. And part of it, when we read the details, indicated that even if you were not attached to the grid, you were still going to have to pay your share of the debt. That seemed not fair to me. So I went to the public hearing for the first time, and I was totally shocked that there were only a handful of people in the audience. After all, LIPA has 1.3 million ratepayers. Why weren't more people interested in this topic? So that is where it started for me.
And now all the way to you being doing this just about full time, right?
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, the town decided to launch their first Solarize campaign, and they needed some assistance. NYSERDA, which is the New York State Energy Research Authority, that's the arm of the state that has the money to create grants. They distribute to municipalities to encourage their constituents to behave differently. Now, in this case, there was a program that was called, and still is called, Solarize. This program is in line with the state strategy to get all of its constituents to get 50% of our energy from renewable sources by 2030. So Solarize is just one of many programs that the state has to encourage us to, in this case, adopt more rooftop solar. So the town needed assistance in communicating this to constituents. And unlike the other towns that typically would do a web-based campaign, maybe put up a Facebook page, maybe do a direct mail campaign, Southampton decided to actually hire someone and do outreach face-to-face by going to community groups. So I raised my hand and said, hey, I'm retired. I've got time on my hands. I'd be more than happy to do that. And that's how the relationship started.
Oh, that's wonderful. So now you've talked about the Solarize campaign. There's this program now called Tri-Energy. Tell us what that is.
Well, about a year later, another program called Long Island Green Homes, which is also funded by NYSERDA. This program had to do with improving the energy efficiency in your home. And I said to my boss, Christine Fetton, who's a director of Municipal Works, you know, it seems to me that one program is about decreasing demand, and this other program is about increasing supply. These things naturally fit together. So why don't we, since we have limited resources, why don't we take these two programs and any other program that comes along from NYSERDA and aggregate it together and create a brand for the town, and that's what became known as Tri-Energy. So Tri-Energy is an outreach program that involves face-to-face presentations to any community group that we can, you know, talk to. And we promote and explain rooftop solar. We explain the economics of that. And we also talk about energy efficiency and how people can sign up for these free energy efficiency audits to make their house, you know, consume less electricity and reduce their bills.
Now, you mentioned before that the state, Andrew Cuomo, has, you know, declared that New York State is committed to getting 50% of its energy from renewable sources by 2030. The town of Southampton has gone much farther than that. Right. Tell us what the town's goal is when it comes to renewable energy and how these programs fit into that goal and maybe some other ways that are yet to come.
The town board in Southampton set a goal of 100% renewable in electricity by 2025. And by the way, we were not the first. It was actually East Hampton back in 2014 who established a 100% renewable goal by 2020. So in Southampton, we currently have a benchmarking project underway in the land management department. And the objective of that project is to, first of all, get our arms around what exactly is our consumption across, you know, all energy supplies, oil, propane, electricity, and that, you know, is kind of to establish a baseline.
And is that just town buildings, or does it include residential and business?
It actually includes everything, and it's quite an arduous task. The town is soliciting all sources to assist in just identifying how much we consume from all those different sources of electricity. And then on the flip side, we have to figure out what our renewable options are and how far can we take our renewable options. In other words, there are some well-known tools that you can utilize to figure out how many possible rooftops are there in the town of Southampton that can take solar. How much solar can you put on each one of those rooftops? And then you can look at, well, how far can putting solar on every possible surface get you? Then there's the wind resource. Then there's storage. You know, storage is a new technology that's kind of expensive, but it's coming down in price rather rapidly. Solar in conjunction with storage has actually a number of different benefits to homeowners. You know, for example, it's now being installed in some of the larger homes instead of a backup generator. So there's an incentive on the part of the homeowner to install storage for other purposes. But that storage can be used to peak shave. We have this phenomena on the South Fork. And up island, demand for electricity is flat or declining. Here on the South Fork, it's increasing.
Why is that?
Well, we have a unique demographic on the South Fork. As you know, in the summer, our population triples from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and mostly from Thursday to Sunday. So when all those air conditioners and pool pumps are all cranking on those really, really hot days, we have a demand versus supply problem. And if you recall, in 2016, it was August 14th, a Sunday, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, the lights went off here. I live in North Sea, and I had an outage that day that was almost 6 hours long. And in fact, I had 7 outages that summer. So when you have a situation where demand exceeds supply, you know, that's one of the consequences, is a blackout.
Okay, so you're talking about these programs. We want to, the town is not only going to find out how much energy we do consume, but also presumably is trying to encourage people to go solar. So talk a little bit about what it means now in 2018 to go solar.
NYSERDA is about to kick off the fourth round of Solarize, and the town of Southampton has put forward an application. The first thing that happens after you're granted the program is the town would issue a request for proposal, and solar installers would compete with each other to be chosen by the town to be the partner of the town in this program. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not a race for who has the cheapest panels, quite honestly, because there are other factors that are really important. The quality of the panels, the warranty, the financial viability of the solar installer. It has been known that these companies go out of business, and how good is a warranty if the company's out of business? So we're very interested to pick a solar installer that also has a strong financial position. It's preferable also to have someone who's local, who's familiar, you know, with the area and has a good track record. But once that solar installer partner is selected, then we together do outreach. And the idea is to explain to people how solar works. And what I like to talk about, what I find through the outreach efforts that I've experienced here in the town, the economics are really not well understood. It turns out that solar is pretty, it's very manageable, especially for middle and low income people. Because in my case, I have a small home. It's only 1,800 square feet. And what I needed to meet 100% of my needs was a system which size was 11.5K, which is pretty big, actually. But my house is kind of leaky. I need to address some energy efficiency issues in my house. But meanwhile, that's the size system that the solar installer determined that I needed. That system cost, under the program, around a little over $40,000. Mm-hmm. And after the state and the federal subsidies, the cost of that system is a little over $20,000. So I was able to finance 100% of the cost of that system with a New York State Smart Energy Loan at a very low interest rate, under 4%, for 15 years. And my on-average bill of $200 a month with PSEG is now $12 a month. However, I am paying the loan charge. So for 15 years, I'm paying $178 to New York's, to NYSERDA. I pay $12 to PSE&G, but I'm no longer paying $200. So on day one, I'm making $10 a month. And when you consider how rates are going to go up over time, I mean, last year, again, anybody can research this. Last year, the rates went up 5%. And this year, so far in January, it's already gone up 2%. So if you consider a 2 to 5% compound growth in interest rates over 30 years. In my case, when my bill was on average $200 a month, I'm leaving on the table $158,000 if I do nothing.
The Trump administration has just slapped a 30% tariff on solar panels. Is this something that's going to increase the cost over the years in which this tariff is in?
Well, I think so, yeah. I don't know until I see the numbers. You know, the industry can do all kinds of things that we don't even, you know, I think we need to give them, let's give them 30 days at least to examine, you know, what they can do to, or what other subsidies, you know, and the states also play a role in this. Maybe the state will offer an incentive. I mean, who knows? We'll have to see what happens.
I can either go out and buy a solar system, or I can lease one. How do you look at that?
What are the advantages and disadvantages?
Well, if you look at the payment stream over the life of the panels, which would be the proper way to do the analysis, I mean, the panels today, you know, you can expect that most of them, they'll tell you, the manufacturers, that they're going to last for about 40 years. So over that time horizon, what is your cost going to look like? With lease, you're always going to be paying that lease price for whatever the duration of your contract is. And it's going to track pretty closely to the rising rates of electricity. You're always better off financially if you can purchase, but a lot of people can't. I mean, the tax incentives are the way in which the purchase price is reduced. So a lot of people don't have tax liability. If you don't pay taxes, a tax incentive is not going to help you. Mm-hmm. So leasing is your only option. But still leasing, you're hedging against rising rates to some degree. So it's still a better investment than doing nothing.
My understanding is that your rates don't go up. That contract is based on a certain rate.
The lease contracts vary by manufacturer. I've seen both. You're right. I've seen ones that are flat over a period of time. But I've seen other ones that track to whatever the rates are.
You're listening to Sustainable East End. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. Co-producer Tony Ernst and I are talking with Lynn Arthur, chair of the Southampton Town Energy Sustainability Subcommittee. Lynn is also executive director of Peak Power Long Island, a nonprofit organization providing services in the areas of conservation and renewable energy. We're discussing Southampton's efforts to reduce the use and cost of electric service to residents and the town. We've mentioned a number of different programs. Talk about Long Island Green Homes, because it's not just about producing energy, it's also about decreasing demand. And a lot of people talk about efficiency being the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, definitely. Making your home more energy efficient is absolutely the cheapest path forward. That you're going to see immediate benefit on your bill when you execute efficiency measures in your house. And let me give you some examples. Well, first of all, let me explain what happens when you order a home energy audit. These home energy audits are amazing. I actually sat in a CAC meeting, Citizens Advisory Committee meeting in Bridgehampton about 3 years ago, and I learned of these free home energy audits. So I said, oh, it's free. I need to have that. So I signed up. I got a phone call, and its program still runs pretty much the same. The energy navigator asked me some questions. Then they told me a date. We talked about a date when I could be at home, and I should expect that they're going to be here for a couple of hours. And two gentlemen showed up at my house that are BPI, that's Building Professional Institute, I think. They're certified through a special program. These days, those subcontractors are managed by PSEG, and they have special training, and they basically come into your house. The first thing they do is a blower door test, where they put a big fan in your front door. They make sure all the windows are closed, and they measure the amount of air that is pushed through that front door, and that establishes a baseline for the leakiness of your house. Then they go through the house from the basement to the attic. They look at your insulation. They look at your windows. They do a safety check. This alone, by the way, is really very beneficial. They check every place gas is connected to an appliance to check to see if there's any leakage. Then they look at if you have ducting. In my case, I have propane heat, and I have central air. So the same duct system, by the way, the house was built in the 80s. So the duct system is rather old. And, you know, as a homeowner, I never thought, well, gee, the ducting might be leaky, you know, it might not be tight. Well, they came in and they proposed to seal all the seams in that ducting system, which I let them do. And they ran the blower door test again after they did that measure. And they showed me the data, and it was a little more than 10% more efficient in terms of the air that was able to be drawn through the front door. Mm-hmm. And they told me at the time it was going to be a direct effect on my bill. Well, a year later, I mean, because I wanted to compare apples to apples. I mean, I saw decreases immediately, but how could I measure that against what, right? Mm-hmm. So I looked at my PSEG bill a year later, and even though the average temperature of that month was colder, my bill actually went down 14%. Mm. So from an electricity perspective, because in my case, as I said earlier, my average bill is $200 a month, I'm saving just from duct sealing $336 a year. The other thing they do is they give you some LED bulbs, and you know, I want to encourage everyone to put as many LED bulbs in their house as possible, because LED bulbs are 90% more efficient. So for every one incandescent bulb, you can, you know, get nine bulbs. That's the equivalent amount of light that they produce.
I wanted to emphasize the costs you save by sealing your ducts. Well, how much does that cost, and how much do you save in energy charges?
That is really dependent upon the size of the house, the size of the system. Usually the payback on duct sealing, you know, in a small house like this, 1,800 square feet, you know, should be 2 years maybe. And then if you want to you can finance the cost also with that smart energy loan that I was telling you about. That smart energy loan can be used for any energy efficiency measure. The cost of the home energy audit is free. It's managed by Long Island Green Homes on a regional basis, and it's available to everyone in Suffolk County and Eastern Nassau. It's managed by the actual subcontractors who perform that are managed by PSE&G. They will, when it's possible, recommend that you install a smart thermostat. Turns out that smart thermostats are a tremendous investment. PSEG Long Island has a program specifically for the South Fork, and it's intended to help with the peak shaving because we've got this big demand with the blackouts that I had mentioned earlier. So if you have a smart thermostat, or if you're willing to purchase a smart thermostat, you can, through this program, put the smart thermostat and get some rebate towards the cost of that. If you need assistance in actually doing the installation, they will do that as well. In order to get the rebate or get the installation by the utility covered, you have to sign up for their program. And the program enables them to reach in to your thermostat during those really hot days in the summer when we're at risk for having blackouts, you know, when demand is exceeding supply or getting close. And it's, you know, pretty, it's great, actually. They'll turn up the temperature in your house just 2 degrees. And if you do that for 1,000 houses, that will give them a megawatt worth of relief. And that would, you know, shave the spikes off those peaks. The challenge with that is that they're reaching through your secure firewall into your house, in your network, and getting to your thermostat. So when I talk about this in these meetings, homeowners are not really keen on that. And, you know, it's really kind of the same people that have this government overreach concern about forcing people to do things. It's just, I don't know how well adopted that's going to be. A better approach is with the technology that's now coming out, with storage. The storage, the battery storage that can be installed in people's homes, well, that battery storage can be powered by the PV on your roof, mm-hmm. or it can be powered directly from the grid. And the storage technology has enough intelligence in it that it can be configured by you, the homeowner, to automatically run your house during peak periods from 2 to 7 p.m., on the battery versus on the grid. So imagine if we could locally get thousands of homeowners to install batteries, you know, again, obviously this would have to be subsidized. But when you consider the cost, okay, so we have 1,000 homeowners with batteries that are taking the load of their house completely, shifting it to the battery, taking it off the grid from 2 to 7 p.m. during the peak period, then that's going to have the same effect, and there's no risk.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think people are not just concerned about big government, but they're concerned about hacking.
That's exactly right. Because who's liable at the end of the day? So you sign up for a program. I mean, if Equifax could get hacked, then why, you know, I don't know who's safe.
Well, also, people have security systems that are running. I'm sure our listeners are going to want to find out more about how they can get involved in these programs. Tell us what they can do.
Well, there are a couple of options. They can immediately go on the Town of Southampton website and look up Tri Energy. That's tri-energy.org. They can sign up for a free home energy audit. They can sign up for a free solar evaluation of their roof. Or on April 21st, the Town of Southampton is celebrating Earth Day at Good Ground Park. We're going to have an electric vehicle and hybrid car expo where many manufacturers of these cars are going to bring their models where you can touch them, feel them, sit in the seat, talk to the dealers about what kind of economics and how that can benefit you. We're going to also have exhibits set up where we will be able to talk and explain and answer questions about these home energy audits. We're going to be kicking off the Solarize campaign, we hope, and the Solar Installers will be there to answer questions. We're going to have a bike share, there's a bike share program that's coming that we're going to talk about, and you know, other solutions that are available to support the town's 100% renewable energy target will be hopefully there as well.
Well, Lynn Arthur, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on Sustainable East End. These are really exciting projects that are going forward toward that goal of 100% renewable energy in Southampton.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, this is a big topic. There are so many solutions, and there's a lot of information, and I can appreciate it's like drinking from a fire hose, but if people just are interested, go to the town website or come to the fair on April 21st. There'll be lots of people there to answer questions. And just thanks so much for having me.
This is Sustainable East End. We talked with Lynn Arthur, chair of the Southampton Town Energy Sustainability Subcommittee and executive director of Peak Power Long Island, about the programs Long Island Green Homes and Solarize Southampton. Long Island Green Homes offers a free home energy audit and rebates and financing for systems that can lower your energy usage. Solarize Southampton is aimed at getting more homes and businesses to go solar by offering technical assistance and reduced pricing. The town of East Hampton is also applying for a grant to promote the program Solarize East Hampton. More information on these programs is available on Southampton Town's website, southamptontownnewyork.gov, or tryenergy.org. And here's some more information about Southampton Town's plans to meet its energy goals. This month, the town announced it's considering a community choice aggregation program. The program would allow the town to negotiate to buy electricity in bulk and perhaps select a new energy supplier. The aggregation programs, which became available in New York in 2016, enable municipalities to seek cheaper and greener power supplies. Meanwhile, Southampton will replace its streetlights with LED fixtures and add additional electric cars to its municipal fleet of about 75 vehicles. The town is considering applying for a grant to fund 5 electric vehicle charging stations in town. Also, it's considering using solar panels paired with batteries to provide electricity and electrical storage for its buildings. Southampton Town's Earth Day program is planned for Saturday, April 21st at Good Ground Park off Montauk Highway at Squire Town Road in Hampton Bays. The program will include an exhibit of energy-saving vehicles provided by local car dealers. Listen to Sustainable East End on the third Wednesday of each month on WPKN, or listen anytime online at sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. Sustainable East End is produced by Tony Ernst and yours truly, Francesca Rhiannon.